All right, I think we'll get started. So welcome to the 2019 Marina of the Year Luncheon. I hope everyone is enjoying their lunch, and we're going to take some time to honor some really special marinas. So this map I have here shows the location or approximate locations for all the facilities that applied this year. I don't know if you can see the colors, but our winners are starred there in red, and you'll hear from them about some of the amazing things that they do. Just a side note, here at the conference, we have marinas representing 43 states, which I think is amazing. So we do have some in this center area. We need you guys to apply. I know you're out there. So I say this every year, but I have to take time to thank all the people that applied for this award. As usual, it was a very tough decision. We had many, many, many great applications, more than 20, which I think is the most that I've seen since I've done this. So thank you. Aside from representing large and small marinas, our award winners and applicants represent a wide array of facilities in the industry. It is the Marina of the Year Awards, which we generally associate with wet slips, but there are many other types of facilities in our industry, and they're all represented here. Boatyard service centers, boat dealerships, dry storage facilities, and more. They represent many different profit centers and management models. We have resort marinas, outdoor boat storage, city municipal facilities, management companies, private owners, family businesses, and large public ports. I was impressed with the variety, the depth of services, and the detailed applications from so many. So thank you again. The applications do take quite a bit of work. It's an open essay format, and this is a list of the different categories that we ask people to write about. And you'll hear from six different winners today. Again, this year we've expanded our awards outside of just the large and small marinas, and we're going to give away some additional category awards, which are based on these categories from the application. So today we'll also have awards for business operations, building and growing, which is facility improvements, environmental responsibility, what we call our hospitality award, which is mostly customer service. These categories can change from year to year, sort of depending on the applicant pool. So we've considered awards for advertising and marketing, industry involvement, so those are all on the table. And again, these awards are ones that you can win year after year. So we want to keep encouraging people to apply and recognize the great things that they do. So I could say a lot about these winners. I'll write more about them in some issues later in 2020. But for now, I'm going to hand it over to them and let them talk about what the great things they do. All right, so first up is our Large Marina of the Year. Congratulations to the Port of Everett in Everett, Washington. Please join me in congratulating and welcoming Jeff Lindholt, Chief of Marina Operations, Jim Weber, Marina Operations Director, and Kate Anderson, Communications Specialist.
Well, thank you, Anna. Like Anna said, we are from the Port of Everett Marina. And for those of you who don't know, that's about 25 miles north of Seattle. We're located in the central Puget Sound, as you can see on the map over here. We were formed in 1918, so we just celebrated our 100-year anniversary last year. And we serve about 100,000 people within the region and support 35,000 jobs. We're not countywide, but we have three elected commissioners. And this is sort of a depiction of our marina from the south. So we have three lines of business, the seaport, which is right down here, the marina, which is a little bit further to the north, and then our real estate development as well. We are also home to the Navy base, which is kind of between our properties right here. And then this small little island out here is called Jetty Island, and we own and operate that as well. Some fun facts, we're the largest public marina in the West Coast with over 2,300 slips, so it's a lot to manage, but it's always fun. And we are the third largest container port in the state as well. So this picture breaks it down a little bit by our properties, too. This is taken from the north, and this is the Snohomish River right here that comes through, which Jeff will talk a little bit more about when we get into details. So I know you guys are all marina people, as are we, but our seaport is encompasses a lot of what we do at the Port of Everett, so I want to touch base on that a little bit. We do over $21 billion in exports annually, and we support trade for our top two employers in the county, which are the U.S. Navy and Boeing. Oops. So we have quite a few acres. We have 65 acres located around the marina, and it's really important to us that our community can access this, so public access is a big deal. We talk about that a lot at the Port of Everett. And since 2001, we've done over $165 million in capital improvements, which you'll see in slides to come. So in 2006, we decided we were going to expand and rebuild the marina over the next 30 years, which includes some of our upland development, which is all of this area right here. This was traditionally mills and industry back in the day. As you can see, we've torn it down. This is a rendering about what it's going to be like. This portion is done, and some of this is done right now. So we have two hotels on the waterfront. One was just had its grand opening this week, actually. Was finished building this summer. But our two hotels are located close to guest docks and permanent moorage docks around the marina. And they have, between them, they have a pool, a couple restaurants, an event space, so our boaters can use it. There's weddings, different conferences, things like that. And for the first time ever in port history, we are opening housing on the waterfront. So we have an apartment complex that broke ground about a month ago, and they'll be finished in 2021. There's 266 units, and about 80% of them are already spoken for, which is great. So Jeff Lindau, like Anna said, our marina chief of marina operations, is going to give you a little bit more of a detail on the marina itself.
Thanks, Kate. I appreciate it. Appreciate being here and having the opportunity to share a little bit about our marina. I was very glad that we had a pointer because my job here is basically to point at pictures, and I wasn't sure that we were going to have one. It's kind of strange because we got both sides here, but I'll do my best. This is just a high-level overview of our marina, just to kind of orient you with the whole layout. The Snohomish River comes down along this way right here. Right here, we have our 13-lane boat launch. It's the largest boat launch in the state. This whole parking area here fills up all summer. We have an overflow area here that fills up, so we literally get thousands of people to our boat launch all year long, supporting our derby, supporting our commercial fishermen. We have guest docks right here, guest docks right here. This is our North Marina. It's our newest marina, which was built in 2007. This is a new guest dock as well, which is guest dock 6. This is Boxcar Park, Jetty Landing Park right here. At Boxcar Park in the summertime, we have a sail-in cinema event where we show movies. We have a big 40-foot screen that we put up out there. Boats can pull into this area right here and either watch the movie from that guest dock 6 or in the park here. As Kate mentioned, this is all the development area. This is phase one of the development, which I'll show you some more photos of. This will all be in the next 5 years of phase two. This is our central marina area. We have private boathouses here. Fuel dock is right here. Again, guest docks here and here. We actually have 10 guest docks at the port, so we have a lot of transient moorage opportunities there. This is the whole new in-water area. I'll show more detailed slides of that. Our South Marina is down here where we have covered moorages. Again, another guest dock there. That was built in the 1960s. Central Marina was the 1980s. Again, this is the boat launch that we have. Guest docks here, guest docks here. We've got a fishing pier over here, a park right here. And this is all of the overflow parking that we have here. This is a depiction of one of the issues that we deal with at the Port of Everett, which is dredging. We have three portions to the dredging. This right here is a great shot of why you don't want your boat launch at the mouth of a river. Snohomish River comes right around here, and we get a lot of siltation in through this area here. This is some dredging that we're currently doing in our central marina in conjunction with our development. So we have three portions to our dredging, which is the marina basin dredging, the boat launch dredging, which last time we did that was about 10 years ago, and just this portion right here was about $1 million. So it's a high expense deal for us. And then we have the Snohomish River core dredging that goes on out here. And that's not our responsibility, but it's an issue that we deal with as well. Oop, did I go too far? This is just sort of the before and after picture. This is 2007. This is sort of the current state of things. All of these docks here have been removed. We have covered moorages here. We have a new L dock that went in here. A wharf was built along here, along this whole esplanade. We have a splash park back here. Actually, it's easier to see it here. So the housing is here, housing here. This hotel is already built. The housing is started here. We have three restaurant pads that are going in here. This was the new wharf I was talking about. That Seine Pier will be going away. This is a brand new dock walk. This is a brand new K dock, which is 70-foot slips. It's about 500 feet long. These are our private-owned boathouses, which we are going to be relocating this spring further west. Let's see if there's anything else. Again, just a more detailed picture of what I just explained. This G dock up here has already been demolished, and we're going to build a new dock this spring where these boathouses are going to be relocated into here and on the new G dock in that area. Port of Everett, we actually do a lot of events as well. This is one of our Customer Connect events, which is basically a customer appreciation event. We do it annually. It's an opportunity for staff members to get together with our customers. We have food, drink, we have live music down there. They really appreciate that. We do a lot of outreach to our customers. We have a marina newsletter that we do. We have a marina forum group that we do, which meets either monthly or quarterly. And again, just an opportunity to meet with our customers, discuss issues at the marina. And it's a very structured environment. It's a group of about 20 people, staff members, security, operations staff, office staff, and it's just a great opportunity to get feedback from our customers and also offer information to our customers about what we got going on, whether it's events or environmental issues or rate changes and so forth. And this again is just the new esplanade where the restaurants, three restaurant pads are going to go. The dock walk here, which you can actually, it's a public access amenity and you can enter on one side and exit on the other side. Here's a slide showing just some of our events. Here's the Sail and Cinema event, which I mentioned. Here is Everett Music at the Marina, which we do all season long in the summer. We have concerts down in our South Marina twice a week. We do a lot of fishing derbies. This is our Coho Derby, which is one of our larger events. This up here is our Fresh Paint event, which is an art festival in our South Marina and all along the South Marina promenade. We have various artists there, and it's I think it attracts like 30,000 people in those 2 days, so it's a huge event. We also have Wheels on the Waterfront event. This Saturday, we have a Holiday on the Bay event where Santa Claus comes in on a boat, and we do a tree lighting, and we have a crafts fair. So all in all, we do about 75 events throughout the year. And Kate already alluded to this, but this is Jetty Island down here. It's about a 2-mile-long island. The river is right here, so it's really close to the marina. There's no businesses out there. It's just a white sand beach out there. It's hugely popular in the summer. It's shallow water. It's warm water. We get a lot of kiteboarders out there. We get a lot of sailboarders out there. This shows up here the shuttle to get out there. It's a free shuttle, which everybody likes. But all summer long, that's running, and we get about 50,000 people that go out there all summer. Just kind of see the beach here. One of the nice things about it is it's just a real gem and a real oasis. And it feels like you're a million miles away, but really the town and the marina are right there. And again, this is just our new, brand new K-Dock, floats built by BMI, 70-foot slips. And in this area, we're going to have a boat show this next fall. So we're looking forward to that. And then with that, I'd like to introduce Jim Weber. Jim Weber is our, he's a new employee. Been with the port for 42 years, actually, so he knows a lot about the marina, and he's our director of operations, and he'll share with you a little bit.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. I have been down at the marina for a few years. It's been an honor to be at the Port of Everett for all those years. I'll tell you, it's changed dramatically, especially over the last 10. Give you a little history on our Fisherman's Harbor area, which you see in the picture right here. Our fishing fleet is a big part of our marina history, quite frankly. Back in the 1890s, the first Croatian and Scandinavian fishermen ventured to Everett. There were purse seiners, gill netters, bottom fish, trawlers, trollers, crabbers that basically fished the Washington, Oregon, and Alaska waters. By the 30s, fishing was such an important part of Everett's economy and community, and it very much grew through the years. During the 1980s, however, it had a decline due to a variety of factors, but today our fishing fleet is still active and important to the marina and is very much a vital part of our operation. This next slide shows some of our full-service boatyard pictures. We've got our 75-ton travel lift up there on the upper left, obviously our 75-ton on the bottom right as well. We have a 75-ton lift, we have a 35-ton travel lift, a 60-ton travel lift transporter, boom truck, forklift, and tugboat services. We have a state-of-the-art washdown facility, which is really nice, and probably one of the biggest things, I think, from my perspective, is we've got an extremely experienced staff that work for me there. Most of our staff has been there at least 20 to 38 years, so they really know their stuff. This next picture is our Craftsman District Boatyard. This slide shows kind of the view looking east. It actually expands a little bit to the right and a little bit to the north where our washdown is. Inside the yard, we offer 30, 50, and 100 amp power. We also offer boat, trailer, and mast storage as well. And we have a covered workyard yard. You can't see around the left side of the picture there that we can put up to 8 to 10 boats as well during the wintertime. We have many marine-related services in and around the Craftsman District that take care of all your boating needs. And there's also a dry stack storage business called Bayside Marine that is just to the north of this facility here. Lastly for me, this is our fuel dock at the Port of Everett. We operate year-round with extended hours during the summer months. Obviously, we offer gas and diesel sales. This year, on track to sell roughly 290,000 gallons of gas, 220,000 gallons of diesel. We have a sanitary pump out facilities here at the fuel dock, as well as we have 8 others throughout the marina complex. Last year, those facilities pumped out nearly 2 million gallons. And in years past, we've pumped out more at our marina facility than the entire state of all the other marinas in the state of Washington combined. So it's been a very active and busy place. So with that said, I'm going to turn it back over to Kate and let her follow up.
Thanks, Jim. So Jim mentioned many of our amenities, but a few others to highlight. We have over 7 restaurants on site with this new fish bar we just opened, which is on the left-hand side here. Like I said, we have 2 hotels as well, and a number of marine businesses too, so repair, fishing supplies. We have really great crabbing and fishing right outside of the marina, so that's really important to us. We have a convenience store, little cafes, and we're also pretty close to some shopping uptown, a golf course, etc. So what's next for us? We just celebrated our 100 years in 2018, so we are looking forward to our next 100 years as well. But we couldn't do all of this work without our whole team at the Port of Everett, so a special thanks to them. Our leadership is so thrilled and excited to be here, so thank you to Anna and the whole team at Marina Dock Age. This is quite an honor, so thank you.
All right, and next up, our Small Marina of the Year winner. Congratulations to Plum Branch Yacht Club in Plum Branch, South Carolina. Please join me in welcoming owners George Selfridge Jr. and Bea McLean.
Boy, that $168 million budget dwarfs our $4.50 budget for next year. Just to put things in perspective. Mrs. Townsend, honored guests, fellow marine owners and operators, and the vendors who support us. I'm here today with my staff of Plum Branch Yacht Club, my partner, B. McLean, who's our CFO, Paula Phillips, my marina manager, who's been with us most of the years, and Eddie Wilson, who's our marina maintenance manager. We do have other people that we left at home. We left our store manager, Beth McCullough, and her helper, Thelma Miller. And our restaurant manager are from the Lakeside Grill, Russell Strickland. And we do have three magicians on our maintenance staff. They can do anything and keeps our clients happy. Perhaps you saw my uncle on Masterpiece Theater, Howard Gordon Selfridge, who started Selfridge Department Store, who said the customer is always right. And what we've done, we've added to that and said, kill them with kindness. And those gentlemen, Leland Thompson, Kelly, and Mike, are the ones that pull that magic off. So where is Plum Branch Yacht Club? I'm still dropping breadcrumbs to find my location. We're absolutely in the middle of nowhere. We're about an hour north of Augusta, two and a half hours east of Atlanta, and about 2 hours south of Anderson. We're in the small town of Plum Branch, is why we named it the Plum Branch Yacht Club. This is a huge metropolitan area of 79 people, and we tend to have a very stable population, because every time a new baby is born, somebody leaves town. So how did we end up building the Plum Branch Yacht Club? It was the result of a response to a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers RFP, request for proposal, and they had about 100 people that asked for a copy of the RFP. About 27 or so appeared at the bid conference, and seven people were sort of chosen as finalists. They were expecting about a total of four people to respond, actually. So I think the reason that we won was our past experience in managing businesses and in construction, various other professional licenses that we held. And the reason the RFP came about at all was the previous Army concessionaire had the mother and father passed away, and the son had let it fall into disrepair. And so the first couple of years of our lease, we essentially spent time cleaning up the 92 acres that comprise our facility. So this gave us an advantage that we had the ability to start with a blank canvas and build the facilities. Are there other Corps engineer concessionaires here today? Oh, one or two. All right, so I'm not the Lone Ranger. I think to understand what the Corps of Engineers, it's sort of a unique proposition in that we have a lease, and not only do we have to obey the federal state, local, and county laws and ordinances, we're also given a layer of rules and regulations from the Corps, and we're also subject to any of the edicts that come out of Congress. And before I get to that, what has happened when we started with the blank canvas, because it's leased property and we do not own it, you're actually the owners of it as U.S. taxpayers of our 92 acres. But since we started, after 24 years, we now have 147 covered slips that range in size from 10 to 5 feet up to 22 feet wide, 90 feet long. We have 41 14 by 36 boat sheds, a ship store with about 8,000 items, a lakeside grill that can seat 32 people, a modern bathhouse, a pavilion, 40 by 50 foot pavilion, and the gas dock offering 87 and 93 fuel. There are pluses and minuses to being a core concessionaire. There's two pluses right off the bat. Given that we are on federal land, we didn't have to pay for the land, which is a savings. And also, because it's federal property, we're only taxed on the personal improvements that we make. So that gives us a little bit of a head start. What we do is pay a small percentage of our gross revenues to the Army. We're sort of like indentured servants during this period. One of the minuses of a concessionaire is that these rules and regulations, you have a partner that has no financial interest in your business. And sometimes the rules and regulations are not helpful to you. For example, you can't, there's rules that say you can have no liveaboards in your harbor. You have to get permissions and permits to expand your harbor. You even have to get permission to cut a tree down. So this sort of handicaps us in a way to be extremely responsive to the marketing needs that we see that our customers want. Our mission, as defined by the lease, is to provide recreational facilities to the general public at no cost to the federal government. And this we try to do. The handicap we had in starting, although we didn't have land costs, at 24 years ago, the banks would absolutely not lend you a penny on property that you did not own. And so we had to make an initial investment of about $1.2 million to start our marinas. And fortunately, over the years, we've been able to grow that through organically generated funds. And so today, we have an investment of about $3 million into the Plum Branch Yacht Club. One of the things I think, I'm sure we do all the marketing that you guys do. We hold events, you know, this type of thing. But I think one of the things that helped us when we first started, we thought the Corps of Engineers was sort of our adversaries, as was DHAC and DNR and all these places. And so we determined that we needed to know their rules and regulations even better than they did. So when somebody said, we think you ought to paint your flagpole red, that we could say, I don't see that in the regulation, and please tell me why. we discovered that probably for a small marina, even maybe a mid-sized marina, that these owners and operators may not be aware of all the money that is available to you almost for the asking. One of the programs that we found most helpful in South Carolina is they have an incumbent workers program. And what that means is if you're a business in South Carolina, they have funds, a large budget actually, that will allow you to train your employees in a wide variety of things. We've taken courses in hospitality, welding, website construction. You can even propose a specific course that you would like a consultant to fabricate for you. And as long as you put that proposal in front of the IWT and you make a passing grade, this can happen. So over the years, we've literally had tens of thousands of dollars of education that we've been able to send our employees to, including myself, in these training programs. And the programs even allowed me to take courses in licensing so that we have septic system control and repair, backflow monitoring. And one of the things that has really helped us is the South Carolina Food Safety Manager certification. What this has allowed us to do, and we're very proud of this, that when we started the Lakeside Grill 7 years ago, all the Russell Strickland, one of the head waitresses, our ship store manager, and myself went through this food management certification. And as far as I know, we're the only restaurant that for 7 years has had a 100% rating each and every year. And of course, this you can look at as part of our program to make sure that we have a safe and healthy environment for our clients. But we also get surprises, and they generally come out of the blue. One of them was an executive order that 13658 that said all concessionaires must pay the federal minimum wage. Now, we're in a rural area where the $25, $30 federal wage has no bearing on reality. And this was going to increase our payroll by almost 50%. So as an owner, we started to write letter campaigns that to all of our senators, congressmen, and to the top officials of the Army Corps of Engineers to show them that this was really damaging our possibility of being a profitable enterprise. And after 4 years of negotiations, meetings, and whatnot, we were finally able to get an exclusion that said that this federal regulation does not apply to contractors that are doing seasonal recreational services. So in addition to learning what's available for you, you also have to sometimes be a little bit political, both on the county side all the way to the federal government. The other thing, some grants. People aren't taking advantage of the grants when I talk to small marinas like ourselves. Probably the best known grant that you all may participate in is the Clean Vessel Act. And even though at the time we started, like Thurman Lake was not a non-discharge lake, but we signed up, we met the criteria, and now for 18 out of our 24 years we've been a CVA participant. This has resulted in many thousands of dollars, plus the purchase of a $60,000 pump-out boat, all thanks to this program. And in conjunction with this, we also learned about the Clean Marina. And we worked very hard to become a Clean Marina. And although it puts you through some hoops, one of the advantages that we saw was that this helps you organize your thinking and helps you actually in the management of your marina. And what blew me away was we had a couple of large marinas like the City of Charleston that was our closest clean marina. And the people that were already in the program really went out of their way to help us meet the criteria. And as a result, in 2002, the Plum Branch Yacht Club became the first inland marina to be designated a clean marina. And you have to get this renewed every 5 years. And in 2018, of course, we were once again certified as a clean marina. And this does affect your business because we do see people that come that compliment us on being a clean marina. You'll notice in the program book, it says we were the first South Carolina clean marina, but we were the first inland marina that was that. The other program I suggest that you look at is something called BIG, B-I-G, which stands for Boating Infrastructure Grants. And this is a program, believe it or not, that has up to $30 million that are divided by all 50 states that allow you to build facilities, slips, bathhouses, whatever, for transient boaters. And although we're not on the inland waterway, we're getting more and more people that are trailing their boats over from the coast to fish on Thurman Lake, which has unbelievable striper, large and smallmouth bass, and crappie fishing. And so in 2018, 2019, we won grants, once again being the first inland marina to win these BIG grants. And as a result, we're going to start building 6 transient slips for these boaters. One thing we learned at this show, which we were totally unaware of, there's 3 or 4 companies that we met out on the floor that will help you fill these transient or your empty slips, Snag a Slip, etc. And so we're going to look forward to working with these companies to see if they can help us fill these slips. Well, I could go on. What we found too was that being green really helped us save some money. And we're so green, even Kermit the Frog is jealous. I mean, I could read the page and a half of programs that we do, but things like recycling your oil from the restaurant. All of a sudden, there was $1,000 that we were paid by Protein Services to pick up our used oil, which also solved the problem of disposing of waste. We have a tremendous recycling program, both in the county and at the marina, and I figure that these programs themselves save us $3,000 to $4,000, because taking the aluminum cans out of the trash, taking all the boxes that come into the restaurant to the recycle center, those types of things save us money. So meeting some of these criteria for some of these programs, I urge you to look at, because they're actually money winners for you. I don't know if I told, on the BIG, for example, they had a $30 million budget, and we were able to get about 180,000 of that. So What has this resulted, all this effort and work of being green, having a non-source pollution program? It's done several things. First of all, it has turned what we initially thought were our adversaries into some of our most stronger supporters. Because when we had a program of, say, recycling monofilament or using burp bibs on our hoses at the gas dock, DNR Fish and Wildlife are more than happy to provide you with free materials. And not only that, they get a gold star for being able to implement those programs at the marina. So all of a sudden, you turn somebody who wants to play gotcha into somebody who's working with you because they know you're receptive to doing these programs. As a result of this, as I said, we have a fantastic $4.50 budget for 2020, not really. We are going to, all of these programs, all of the ways that we treat our customers, the events that we hold, it really has proven to us, build it, treat them right, and they will come. And as a result, we're tripling the size of our restaurant. We're building 12 new slips in addition to transient slips. We have all kinds of expansion programs of the facility because we're trying to make boating a fun and safe place at the Plum Branch Marina. Thank you.
Before we move on, I just want to point out one picture. I've always wondered where Santa goes during summer. Did you guys see this? If I can get back. Oh, no, it won't work. Now my pointer's not working. Oh, I've got a computer issue. Where's Will? There we go. He goes to South Carolina. Anyway, sorry. All right, so moving on to our category awards. All right, so our Building and Growing Award. Congratulations to Hoosier Hills Marina in Celestine, Indiana. Please join me in welcoming owners Victor Pullen and Rebecca Masters.
Well, first of all, we would just like to say how excited we are about winning this award and to thank Marina Dockage and Anna. It's for all the hard work you put in. It's wonderful to get an award for it, and we can't wait to tell all our slipholders and share this great news. This first slide is just an overview of our marina. I'm not going to read it all to you. But we are actually a marina in southwestern Indiana. We're about a little over an hour away from Louisville. We're the second largest man-made lake in Indiana. We're 8,800 acres. You can get forward. I'm going to let Victor talk about all the operational improvements that we've made.
Yeah, I think when you talk about building and growth, it's better just to see the numbers. So. All these numbers represent this is finishing our third season, so we still have revenue coming in yet this December, but this is as of 19. So on slips, we've increased our revenue by 62% through our building. Boat rentals, 49%. The boat rental number is interesting because we rent houseboats. The houseboats are up, but by a small amount. This is mostly driven by small boat rentals. Which comes down to making it easy for customers that may eventually get into a boat. The Idle Zone restaurant, which Rebecca has taken a lot of initiative with, has virtually doubled in the last 3 years. And then our fuel is indicative of the additional activity that we have at the marina. So we've increased our fuel consumption by roughly 50%. If you look at our total business, we're up 58% having just finished the third season. Now, what do we do? When we bought the marina, Rebecca and I took over May of 2017. So when we bought the marina, we actually had a plan, a business plan like anybody would, of what you're going to build and do. And both of us felt that lodging was our very first focus to put cabins, et cetera, in. Well, we changed completely that, and we went to slips. And driven by, largely, we keep a wait list, and Rebecca keeps knocking on my door saying, we need to build slips. You know, we have all these people we're going to lose if we don't build slips. So we actually built 16 new covered slips as we took over the marina. A year later, we built roughly 35 new slips and a new dock. And then a year from that, we built another 30 covered slips and two open slips, amongst a myriad of other activities. And then you always come down to how do you finance those. So we want to make sure we're not highly leveraged, because we are going to do cabins and we have large growth plans. So we work on a very lean budget. So we've tried to finance majority of these through cash and a little bit through financing, so that we can have additional cash flow to grow the next segments of our business. How do we prioritize projects? Basically, you hear a lot here. I mean, you're always balancing revenue growth and profit growth with amenities for your customers. I think what you heard here from the previous marina, the environment they've created, I think, is it Bayshore or the one in Marblehead? They do a ton of stuff that we hear now for the second year in a row with amenities for their customers. So we try to balance what our customer amenity requirements are with what the revenue growth that we need is, along with profitability. And so in addition to slips, you can see things like laundry, propane dispensing station. That was a safety-driven initiative. That'll probably never have a payback. But at the end of the day, it's very professional, and it sent a message to our customers right off the bat of what kind of operation we were going to have. We put a brand-new 80-foot by 6-foot walkway in. Again, going to our gas dock, that's partially for future growth, but also it's an amenity that allows people that have more, that have accessibility issues to get down to the fuel dock, get to the boats, get to our rental house boats or our rental boats, and quite a few other things that we didn't have time to list. Safety, a lot of us went to the electrical discussion yesterday. We've been through that with Gary probably 5 times, 3 times here and 2 or 3 times at the KMA. We take that very seriously. We installed 2 ground fault protected docks in our expansion, even though our NEC code did not require it in the state of Indiana. We advertise that to our customers as well as to the state. And that, again, is creating the environment and sending a message to the type of customer we hope to attract. Cleanliness. It's amazing to me when I've been to some marinas, hopefully probably none of them here, where you walk down a dock and you can't get down the dock unless you're covered in cobwebs and stepping through all kinds of stuff on the dock. So we literally knock cobwebs down all season long. Of course, we spray and do other control features. And then we also power wash the docks. When our customers come in, the docks are clean. Go ahead.
This is our second year project. That's our D dock. And I think it also includes our B dock expansion, and then there's our new walkway. We couldn't do this without our employees. They're the heart of our business. So this is just some pictures from all of our years so far. This is every year we do a slip holders appreciation dinner. Everyone looks forward to it. We have steaks, a band. It's a fun, enjoyable night. And then again, there's our customers, the other heart of our business, right? Employees and customers. We want to make sure they're having a good time. Our store remodel. And then the biggest thing that we're very proud of this is we have cleaned up our marina. There was just junk everywhere. And so here's the after picture of what that looks like. And this is our before picture of our marina. And this is 2019.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you again.
All right, next up is our hospitality award. Congratulations to Newport Shipyard in Newport, Rhode Island. Please join me in welcoming Veronica Brown, Director of Marketing Events, Mike Millerick, Assistant Dockmaster, Tim Parker, Assistant Dockmaster, and Steve Figueredo, Yard Manager and Head Electrician.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. My name is Veronica Brown, and I am the Marketing Director for Newport Shipyard. We are located in Newport, Rhode Island, and as you may or may not know, Rhode Island, of course, is the smallest state, but we consider ourselves a pretty big player in the marine industry. When I applied for this award, it was September 30th, and I knew that shortly thereafter we would be acquired by Safe Harbor Marina. Anyone out there from Safe Harbor? Anyone else? Yeah, okay. So we are now part of the Safe Harbor Marina Company, which we are very excited about. But when I applied for this, we were still a family-owned business. Just a quick overview, we have 3,500 linear feet of dock space. We can take yachts up to about 300 feet. The shipyard was bought by the Dana family and other investors in 1998. They were concerned that developers were going to come in and turn it into condominiums, so they decided to go ahead and buy the shipyard and preserve the marina that is there. This is some before photo. And here it is after. This photo I included because it's a group of students from IRIS, the International Yacht and Restoration School. And we love having them come in and tour the shipyard. They're kind of the future of the marine trades. And we love having them come to the shipyard to visit. Also a before and after photo. This was taken a few weeks ago. You'll notice, if you can see, there's 4, 5, 6 large yachts out of the water. Of course, the fall is, you know, our busiest season on the hard out of the water when boats are getting refit repair work before they head south. Earlier this year, our general manager, Eli, taught me how to fly the drone, so I have lots of good drone footage now, which is very helpful. Here's another before photo. This is our railway that's removed, and now we have a 500-ton pit there. And again, if you notice, if you can see this photo, this is on the left, a motor yacht that's in our shipyard right now having the engines replaced. And our marine travel lift operators, who are very talented, are moving a J-class yacht, 137-foot yacht, in between that motor yacht, which is 140 feet, and a gunboat on the right. It's a very tricky maneuver, but did it perfectly. Here's what we looked like in 1998 when the Danas bought the shipyard out of bankruptcy. That's a barge there on the bottom left, and we didn't have any docks, so the owners thought, okay, we'll bring in a barge, and we can have boats tie up to it. We'll put some tables and chairs out there, and it lasted for a few months until the city caught on, and they were like, can't have the barge there. You have to build the docks, so... Here's what it looks like. This is actually from 2017. This yacht on the bottom right is 300 feet, the Athena. It's a very good customer of the shipyard. The owner recently sold the yacht, but this is what it looked like right before the J-Class Worlds, which were held in Newport in 2017. In the shoulder seasons, we also do a lot of refit repair work for commercial vessels. We have a state fishing pier right next to the shipyard, so we work with those guys a lot, which is great. We have 4 marine travel lifts. Are the guys from Marine Travel Lift here? They're out on the floor, I think, but great partners of the shipyard. We have a 500, we have a 100, and the one on the far right is a 205-ton lift. It's It was custom built in 2017 for the shipyard, and it can go in and out of our shed without using a hydraulic trailer. Bell's Cafe, we have a restaurant on site, and the owner used to joke that it's 10% of our income and 90% of the headache, but it is the heart and soul, I would say, of the shipyard. This is what it looked like before in 1998, and here's what it looks like now. We have about 80 full-time staff in the summer, including our restaurant staff, our dock staff, et cetera, and about 40 full-time staff in the winter. We are dog friendly. We have specials. We do lots of special events out of Bell's. So it really is a great place for our employees, our customers, subcontractors to gather and enjoy each other's company. We offer lots of amenities at the shipyard, which is one of the reasons that I think we received this hospitality award. This event is a stand-up paddleboard race that we do in August, and it's organized by the Clean Ocean Access, which is a nonprofit organization in Newport, and we work with them this year actually to be one of the first restaurants in Newport to do a compost program. So we compost all food in the back of the kitchen, and it has, you know, if you aren't involved in a compost program and you have a restaurant in your marina, I highly encourage you to look into it because it does save dramatically on the amount of garbage that is removed from the restaurant every day. We have yoga on the dock. We have what we call free beer, free beverage Friday. And the captains and crew love that. It's really easy to implement, just a few cases of beer and wine, and everyone kind of gathers after work on a Friday afternoon, which is great. We have our ship store in Chandlery, another amenity that captains and crew really like. And of course, we have a fitness center, which we renovated last winter. We have crew housing located adjacent to the shipyard, which captains and crew, when they come into the shipyard for a yard period, they might be there for 2 or 3 months. They can't live on the boat. So we offer this amenity, which they really appreciate and enjoy. We also have 5 courtesy vehicles. We have golf carts. We have push boat assistance. We have work floats. So we try, you know, what we've realized is we are marketing to the captains of these yachts for the most part. We're not, the owners aren't always there, aren't usually there. So we're really marketing and appealing to the captains and crew. So much of it is about relationships with these men and women and setting ourselves apart from other shipyards and marinas and getting them to come to Newport and to Newport Shipyard. This photo is very funny. This was in 2017, and it's a mechanical bull. And that's the owner of the shipyard on the bull. It was a great event. We do these types of events all the time, and I think the captains and crew really appreciate them. This is every year we take a trip to the Providence Bruins hockey game, and usually we leave. This year I went with 73 captains and crew and came back with 65, so I think they made it back eventually, I hope. We also do the Pell Bridge Run. It's a run over the Pell or Newport Bridge, and we have a team. Usually we have 30 or 40 captains and crew participate and employees. We organize an event called the Pumpkin Regatta every October, and we donate all the proceeds to charity. The captains and crew love to come participate. They like to dress up, and this is what happens when you fall in the water. This is one of our assistant dock masters, Tim Parker, who's right here, and one of our electricians, Andrew. We are a host and sponsor of the Newport to Bermuda race, which we co-sponsor with Gosling's Rum. It's the Gosling's Rum Newport Shipyard crew party. And the photo on the right, we usually have about 800 people come and have a party at the shipyard 2 days before the race start, on the Wednesday before the Newport to Bermuda race start, which is held every other year. So we used to be the hosts of the Newport Bucket, which is a super yacht event that is sister to the St. Bart's Bucket. A few years ago, we took over the event, and it is now called the Candy Store Cup. We have it every July, and we usually get about 12 super yachts who participate. Usually, they're all our customers. They're in the marina or in Newport, and it's an awesome event. This is a shot from, I think this is from 2011 of the what used to be the Newport Bucket. We do some other events. This is kind of a cool one. The owner of Athena also owned this boat, Comanche. It is a race boat that is the holds the fastest monohull record of 618 miles in 24 hours. That's the christening of the boat, and here it is racing. It's now has an Australian owner and is actively does the Sydney to Hobart race. This is an event we do every year for the Boys and Girls Club of Newport County. Eli Dana, our general manager, is on the board, and it's called the Newport Yacht Rendezvous. It's kind of, copycats an event held similarly in Fort Lauderdale. And it's a great event, and the shipyard is so happy to be involved with so many different charities and nonprofits, you know, really to be a vital member of our community. This is a photo from the J-Class Worlds. For those sailors out there, we have a lot of J-Class yachts come into the shipyard, and they're a huge draw. People love to come see them, take pictures. Anytime I put a photo up on Instagram of a J-Class yacht, it's sure to get 500-600 likes. People love these yachts. And the event was based at the shipyard in 2017, which was pretty spectacular. We do a customer service training every year for our new employees. It's called Newport Shipyard Reach. We find that, you know, we strongly believe in the philosophy that if you can keep customers, it's a lot less expensive than getting new customers. And I know that was echoed in one of the sessions yesterday. We built this program with a lady by the name of Susan Nash. Realize personal versus material service, exercise and build internal bridges. And I know you all know how important that is to have a good working relationship with your coworkers. Asking and understanding customer requirements, capturing and identifying moments of truth, and help targeting win-win outcomes. And Anna had mentioned when we got this award that that was one of the things that, they liked that was kind of different, that showed good hospitality. We also try to address different, you know, common customer complaints with our employees. So when they're asked questions or get complaints, they know how to handle them. Of course, this is a word cloud showing our biggest complaint is parking. We are located in Newport, downtown Newport, Rhode Island, and parking is so limited, as is, I'm sure, in other marinas in other towns. This is our Newport Shipyard Reach training. We have a lot of partners in our community. This is Gurney's Resort, used to be the Hyatt. They're located adjacent to us. We work with them all the time. If we don't have room in our marina, we'll work with them. Parati Park, we get about 30 cruise ships that come into the shipyard, into Newport every year. And we work closely with them. They get a lot of business in our restaurant from those folks. The Seaman's Church, we hold a fundraiser every year for the Seaman's Church, which is a marine nonprofit in Newport that's been there a long time. Bannister's Wharf, who co-hosts the Candy Store Cup with us. Iris, who I mentioned before, the International Yacht and Restoration School. Bowen's Wharf, another lively part of our downtown waterfront. The New York Yacht Club, this is their Newport summer house. It's called Harbor Court. We work closely with them on regattas. And of course, Sail Newport, which is our local nonprofit sailing community organization. I'd like to thank, of course, everybody at the shipyard for, you know, it's such a great team, and I know you can all, you'll all agree with me that, you know, when you work with great people, great things happen. And of course, Steve Figueredo, who's here with us today, he's one of our yard managers and our head electrician. Mike Millerick, who started with me as an intern at Salve Regina in 2017, he's one of our assistant dock masters. Tim Parker, who's been at the shipyard for 10 years. He's also one of our assistant dock masters. And a special thanks to Eli Dana, who couldn't be with us today. He's our general manager. And Isabella Rydell, his sister, who's the assistant GM. It was so great working for a family business. I know a lot of these marinas out here today are family owned, and there's something very special about that. So we owe a lot of thanks to the Dana family and the other investors for what they've built in Newport and kept this piece of, you know, very important marine waterfront property growing, thriving, and now being profitable. That's it. I'd like to thank you all for your time, and thank you again to Anna Townsend and her team at Marina Dock Age for giving us this award. We are very honored and humbled. Thank you.
All right, next up is our Business Operations Award. Congratulations to CenterPoint Yacht Surfaces in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. Please join me in welcoming owner Joe Mead.
Well, hello, and thank you very much. Owner might be a little bit of a stretch. My dad is still part of the picture, but I'm part of the family business. But thank you. So anyway, we're Centerpoint. We are a full-service boatyard and marine destination around the Great Lakes and specifically Lake Michigan. Our main headquarters and facility is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And like I said, we're family-owned, family-operated, and as such, we try to treat every customer like our family, an extension of our family, to create the best experiences on the water. So here's a couple of our business milestones. We're relatively young. If you look at Centerpoint, we opened in 2005 as just a marina up in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, which I'll point out on the picture here, the little bit backstory on that. In 2009, we developed the business a little bit further and added winter storage and yacht brokerage to the business. 2011 was sort of a pivotal year for us because we became a full-service marine destination at that point when we moved down into Milwaukee and merged with Harborside Yacht Services, which was an existing full-service boatyard servicing the Chicago, Milwaukee, and greater area around the southern Lake Michigan area. And then in 2013, we expanded again, taking our presence in Wisconsin to a new level as we acquired a neighboring boatyard in Sturgeon Bay. So we established ourselves as a full-service boating destination up there and took over the former Great Lakes Yacht Services Yard, which before that was the Palmer Johnson Yachts new construction yard. So a lot of the existing infrastructure there has helped us really develop our service department, as well as bringing on a very incredible staff on the administrative side, but also marine technicians. And then 2016 was another big year as we expanded west from Milwaukee into Lake Country. Between Milwaukee and Madison are a series of inland lakes. So out of this location, we were able to service all of the smaller trailerable inland lake boats with a full service and sales center in Pewaukee. And then another big year is on the horizon for us as we look to almost double the footprint of our Milwaukee facilities with a complete relocation and rebuilding of that facility to include double the square footage that we have now, a full sales center, and additional lifting capacity beyond what we have now. So today we have three full service boatyards and a total of five sales centers around Lake Michigan. We're just over 80 employees, mostly full-time, a couple part-time, given the seasonal nature of the business that we have up in the Midwest. Currently, we're just over 250,000 square feet, and as I mentioned, as we hope to double our Milwaukee location, that number will get closer to about 450,000 square feet of indoor heated. The heated is important for us in the Midwest winters. And again, like I said, with each merger and acquisition, we've grown our service team incredibly with a lot of veteran marine technicians. We're just under 30 factory certified techs. And as you can see here, this is where it began for Centerpoint, the full service marina in Sturgeon Bay, which is comprised of about 150 deep water slips and accommodations to yachts of just over 200 feet at the marina. Don't have the lifting capacity yet for that, though. Right now, we're at 75 tons at each location, so we can get most of the stuff moving around Lake Michigan. We have showrooms which represent almost 15 brands of boat manufacturers. So as you can see here at the marina, kind of an interesting story, how we began in 2003, the Peterson Builder Shipyard in Sturgeon Bay shut down, and that entire portion of the waterfront was sort of a barren wasteland. And that's when we came in and we purchased it and developed it into the marina, opening up a significant piece of the waterfront to the public right in downtown Sturgeon Bay. You can see it's kind of a unique geometry on the shoreline as they used to launch and haul and service large tankers and big vessels around the Great Lakes and the country. But it's also allowed for us to get the larger capacity yachts that only seldomly come through, but we're one of the only yards in the area that can handle them. Our service department is probably a core piece of our business. A lot of people have the misconception that after the summertime, things kind of die down in the Midwest, and especially in the areas where we get a lot of ice and snow. But the service department is definitely the biggest part of our business, and as all the boats get put away, we start ramping up all the big service refit and overhaul work that we do. Like I said, we've got almost 30 factory-certified marine technicians that can handle almost anything on the water. Our motto is to never turn down a job, no matter how complex or how extensive it gets. And you can see just a small piece of what we do up there. And building on the existing infrastructure that we picked up with the acquisition of our Sturgeon Bay Yard, we specialize in a lot of major refit work, total overhauls, and insurance jobs as well. And that's all I've got for you guys. But thank you very much for the award and for Anna and the team.
All right, last but certainly not least is our Environmental Responsibility Award. Congratulations to Bay Point Resort and Marina in Marblehead, Ohio. Please join me in welcoming Assistant General Manager Mark Gallivan.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll be short and sweet as it's about 12:20, and I know there's stuff going on at 12:30. But Bay Point Resort is honored to accept this award in the environmental responsibility. And I'll give you a brief history on Bay Point. Bay Point was started in 1941, and we've been around for now a little over 77 years. But one of the things that I like to start off by talking is a little bit of the history of Bay Point, to where you can see where the marina physically is. It was all marshland. So the entire marina was dredged out and excavated to create the marina footprint, which I find very interesting. We weren't built off of the land; we removed the land to create the marina, which I think is pretty cool. So we are 805 slip marina. Of those 805 slips, 145 of them are jet docks. We have a big population that likes to jet ski in the area. And on the far right-hand side of the picture is a sandbar to where a lot of people like to go hang out on the beach. So they take their jet skis, they take their boats, and they go hang out on the little sandbar over there. But we also have a campground, 182-site campground. We have 85 home sites. And we have, to the left of the picture, is about a quarter-mile beach, sandy beaches, on the really both sides of the marina property. But what I wanted to talk about today was environmental responsibility as to what it should be on the minds of everyone. I kind of took this presentation as a little different approach as opposed to telling everyone what we do and how we operate. You know, everyone does events and everyone does parties and they do all the great hospitality stuff that everyone can do. But I wanted to take a step back and look at environmental responsibility and how it impacts the entire, really the entire population in an aspect. Because everything that we should be doing correctly at a marina, we should also be doing it at home. So we want to protect the resources that we have. All of our businesses are derived upon the natural resources of the lake, the ocean, you know, all of our waterways. So we want to be able to protect that environment and protect that resource. And it's our responsibility to try to help reduce the pollutants and contaminants into the water. And we can't do this without teamwork. It's not just teamwork at your facility, it's teamwork throughout every marina, every facility on the water, homeowners and everyone. So with that, a couple years ago, we started working on the Clean Marina program in the state of Ohio, and we became the first in the state of Ohio to be a platinum certified clean marina, which that entails about an 80 step checklist, plus all the EPA laws and requirements from them to attain this certification. And they look at things like marina management, resiliency, habitat and species, boater education, community outreach and employee training. So we take this very proud. We got this June of 2018, and I've probably talked about it five or six times since then. The Clean Marinas program is very up and coming and getting bigger in Ohio, especially on the Lake Erie and even on the Ohio River watershed. So it's gaining population in the state. And with us being the first platinum clean marina, I like going out and talk about it. And then one thing that we did that sets us apart from other marinas and organizations in the area, we started a shrink wrapping recycling program. Now with this, it was started in 2018, kind of correlated with our clean marina, as that is one of the requirements, but it's been something that the general manager and I have talked about in the past. You know, how can we try to lower our impact and in reality lower some costs on trash removal? Because recycling, with the local recycler that we used, it was a nominal fee for us to recycle the shrink wrap instead of throwing it in the dumpster and going to the landfill. So that was a project that our service department and maintenance team had in 2018 and 2019, is implementing this recycling program to limit the amount that was going into the landfill. We don't store very many boats outside. Everyone's going to indoor heated storage, and we don't have a facility for that. So the majority of the boats out of the 800 that we have in the marina every year, they all leave. So we have a small amount of shrink wrap in the grand scheme of things compared to other marinas where you're shrink wrapping 500-600 boats a year. We're only shrink wrapping about 120, which doesn't create a lot of waste, but it is a lot of waste. And that's all I really wanted to talk about today. So I will end with that.